In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, Most Gracious, Most Merciful, we ask Allah to send His peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace be upon him and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to Oman FM on 90.4. And this is your show, Love Your Life, with Maya Al-Saeed. Bi-idhnillah, inshallah, with the intention to connect your heart one ayah at a time with inspirational, motivational stories that my guests share with you. Today in the studio, we have Sister Emma. Hold on. Emma Louise Wellburn. Did I say that correctly?
Yes, well done. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
As-salam.
So today the title of the show is The Quran, A Practical Guide for Life. And I love the title because I totally believe it is. So I'm really interested to have this conversation with you and see your viewpoints on it. And before we begin and dive in to get to know Emma more, I want to remind you that this is a live show. You know the drill already, but I still have to remind you, okay? And the number to call, because you can join us and share your reflections. If you have something to say to Emma, you want to talk to Emma or myself, you can do so by calling 2460-2058. I'll repeat, 2460-2058. And if you happen to call, you will be, inshallah, you might be one of the winners of a Quran, the Noble Quran, which I am giving away as a token of appreciation for participating in the show. So basically my way of saying thank you. Emma, I'm so glad you made it.
Thank you for having me.
So I want to know, who is Emma? What's Emma's story?
Okay, who am I? I guess my journey with Islam started when I was 18. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it started before that. I became Muslim when I was 18. And I was a teenager. I went to the university to go and look at the Freshers' Fair to find out the parties in the UK. I did not expect to go and start speaking to the girl on the Islamic Society stall.
You took a wrong turn.
Yeah, I took the wrong turn somehow. And yeah, I ended up finding out more that from that point, really, at university onwards. I started a little bit before that with my best friend was from Morocco, and I traveled to Morocco, and I would see her praying and spend a lot of time with their family from about 15 years old. So I was interested in religion already. But then when I went to university, I guess that was where it really started. And I made the right connections that I didn't even expect to or even have in my mind that this was something on my radar that I was thinking about.
So actually, I want to correct myself. It's not the wrong turn. You took the right turn.
Yes.
Because I was feeling guilty. It's not the wrong turn, maybe it's the right turn.
Yeah.
So prior to that, so your look upon Islam was a positive one, because many, similar to your background, because I'm assuming you're British.
Yes.
Yes, yeah, from the accent.
Yeah.
You know, it's usually the opposite. They have this whole negative annotation with Islam because of the media and so on and so forth. But for you, it was a positive one.
Yeah.
And so then at the age of 18, you took your shahada.
Yes. Not immediately. So I'd already been reading like a basic book about how to pray and things, just because of it, out of interest. Mm. When I saw my friend praying, I just read it to find out a bit more about what she was doing. And then I started attending lectures at the Social Islamic Society at the university, and in my friend's university as well. So I had a few events that were happening that I would go to, I was also studying sociology, so an element of that was looking at religion and politics. So I would also go to the library and I would read about all different religions. So I took books on Buddhism, for example, and my family were brought up Christian. So I'd also think about Christianity. But the more that I read, the more I kept going back to Islam, and the more I felt like it sat right with me. So I stopped taking those other books and started just taking about Islam. And then as well, going to the Islamic Society events, I was just learning a lot. And then I remember I was once with a group of girls from the group, from the Islamic Society. And I sat there and I thought, yeah, I think I believe. Well, I know I believe now, but I still wanted to just take my time to make sure I was happy with it for me. So then I started to pray in secret, and I would actually go to the prayer room in the university and hide, go at times when I knew people weren't going to be there. And my flatmate, even though she was Muslim, I would double lock the door when I got home because I didn't want anybody to know yet. I double locked the door until one day she went to get something out of my bag. For some reason, I said, I'll just get it out of the bag. And I forgot that I had a prayer mat and a scarf. And she came back to me and she said, why have you got these in your bag? And then she realized that I'd been praying, and then she helped me to learn to pray like with the Arabic words. And from there, then people started to find out. So yeah, I think it probably, I started university when I was 18, and then it probably took me a good 6-8 months to fully think, right, okay, I'm going to come out clean. And then my shahada, actually I'd already been praying probably 5 months, but my friends were like, okay, enough now, let's go to the mosque,
just become Muslim. Enough,
you're Muslim already, like come to the, do the shahada. So we went to Regent's Park Mosque, and a few of my friends wanted to come, so we went and I did my shahada in the summer. So it started in that September time of beginning university, and then the shahada was actually in about June time.
MashaAllah, so. Such a beautiful story. I don't think, I mean, not that I've heard a lot of revert stories, but to actually start praying before actually taking the shahada is, I don't know, it's just a, it's like you wanted to start, yani, you believed, it was you just needed to say the words, but because you believed, you just wanted to start obeying Allah the way He wanted us to pray to Him and everything like that. It's just amazing.
And I think that's like why I said practical. I think I'm quite practical, and I'm quite, I want to think about things before I let other people know, or maybe really know for myself before, so I can answer questions if somebody asks me. And I had to tell my family as well. So I'd actually been sort of set in the pathway with my mum. We would go for walks and I'd say, oh, how would you feel if I became Muslim? Or do you know about this? And she was, you know, she was supportive. So I sort of started laying the groundwork in that time as well. So it wasn't a shock to my family.
And they've accepted you, alhamdulillah. You didn't have any challenges, because usually it's quite challenging.
No, alhamdulillah, I was very, very lucky. My mum had an inkling, and my sister as well, because I was living with them. My dad, actually, he lived up north in the UK, so we were down south near London, so it was very multicultural, and my sister had friends from all over, so she was
okay.
Yeah, she was open to everything, really. My dad has a little bit more of a shock, because it's a very like white English town, seaside town that he's from. So he said to me, why don't you just become Christian and practice Christianity rather than changing your religion? But that was it. That was the only thing. And then when I started covering and wearing a headscarf, he also didn't really like it, but he got on with it. He was... nobody's ever stopped me or had any issues, and I'm really, really grateful for that, because you do hear some people have
horrible
very difficult
stories,
times.
Unfortunately. And it's like they have to choose between the family and their belief.
Yeah.
I had a guest last season who that's what it came down to. Her husband told her that you have to, it's either me or the religion. And she says, I chose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, so it was very, very emotional. I should catch up with her and see how she's doing. And I'm still trying to gather my thoughts as how beautiful your Islamic, you know, your revert story is, subhanAllah. And why it's touching me, because to this day, we have Muslims, even born Muslims, who have yet to pray.
Yes.
And here, subhanAllah, you at that point in your life, you are just convinced that Islam is the religion, and I will, inshallah, eventually, but I want to pray first. And yani, subhanAllah, I don't know. It's just so beautiful.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I felt that connection. I felt like I needed that. I remember I used to have this little fold-out prayer guide that I would read on the tube. And every now and then I'd be sat next to a Muslim and they'd maybe talk to me, but I would not have that conversation with the people that actually knew me. But strangers on the tube, that was fine. But yeah, I just felt that need for that connection.
MashaAllah. And how did you end up in Oman?
I came here for work. So I'm a teacher. So I came here to start a 2-year contract for my teaching. And I said to my mum before I left, oh, I'll only stay 1 year. I'll break the contract.
She didn't know you were coming to Oman.
Yes, exactly. I went back for the Christmas holidays from the August I'd left. And I said, oh, mum, I'm not coming back. And not now, anyway. Then she came for a holiday. She understood. And yeah, so it's 11 years now.
11 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
MashaAllah. I thought you were going to say 4 years. I was not expecting 11.
This is home now, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. That's so beautiful to hear as well. Anyway, this is now Emma. And I am still kind of lost for words because her story truly touched me. And I'm sure it's touched you as well, my listeners. But we will take a short break and inshallah be right back to get to know more about Emma and her journey with Islam.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life. This is Maya Al Saeed. With me in the studio is Emma, and we've just got to know a bit about her Rivet story. Very touching. She started praying even before she became a Muslim, like, mashallah. And today she's in the studio with us to talk about, of course, the Quran. And she decided, this is the title she chose because she's a very practical person. So it's the, what did we decide it was?
I think we said practical, the Quran, a practical guide for life.
Guide for life. And I want to remind you before I continue my discussion with Emma that you're more than welcome to call us on 24602058 if you'd like to speak to me, to Emma. If you want to tell her how beautiful her story is, as if like I'm telling her, you're more than welcome to do so. And you can do so by calling once again 24602058 and you might be the winner of a Quran that I'm giving away as a token of appreciation. So Emma, I can only imagine if you felt that sort of connection with the prayer, the action of prayer, how was it with the Quran?
Yeah, I guess I didn't really expect to have a connection. And I think my connection's fully changed over 20 years. My connection with the Quran's really changed. What connected me initially was all of the scientific ayahs in the Quran, that how could people have known and how could it have been written by people 1,400 and something years or years ago? How could that have been written by people? And it was that, like, I guess, again, the practical side of things, the scientific knowledge that we've only known in the last 20, 30 years that really got to me. So when I was reading that, that's what connected me.
Do you those have a couple ayahs. Of ayahs?
Well, I have this book. I've actually kept this book because I think it's brilliant for anybody who's interested in Islam or connecting with the Quran. I think it's called The Brief Illustrated Guide to Understanding Islam, and it goes through lots and lots of the ayahs, not all of them. There are more coming through, so every time I learn a new one.
I feel Emma and I can be best friends because if you look at her book, it's all tagged, and if you know me, I love tags. I love tagging and note taking.
Okay. I learned from the best. I came to your workshop years ago. I love a list and I love a post-it note. One of them is that how we are created. So we're created from a clot. Do you want me to read it?
If you can give us a couple of eyes if somebody's, you know, never heard of
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Just to so give them the one about how an embryo is created, the ayah is in, I think, 23:12.
And what surah is this?
So 23 is, I don't know. Surah 23.
It's okay. I'll try and find it. You can go
ayah 12. Okay.
Okay.
We created man from an extract of clay. Then we made him as a drop in the place of a settlement firmly fixed. Then we made the drop into an alak, a leech or a suspended thing, and a blood clot. Then we made the alak into a factor, a chewed substance.
Mm. Okay, I'm trying to find it here. I don't know why this is not working for me today. I believe it's Surah Al-Alaq, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're no.
right. It's not this surah. But I know them. I don't want to say the surah. I might know it, but it's okay. I just put her on the spot. That's why. She was not ready.
I'm really bad
what
with
is the
names
verse again?
And the numbers. 23:12. I'll give me...
Because she came with her mushaf. I'm here with my ayah app. But
it's called in Al-Mu'min.
Al-Mu'minun.
Al-Mu'minun, sorry.
Al-Mu'minun. Don't worry. It's okay.
My Arabic is obviously lacking.
And I'm supposed to know this, so I just don't want to... Yes, it's verse...
12,
yes. So Surah Mu'minun, verse 12, exactly what she said. I just wanted to give you, for those who are listening, to know exactly where to find what she was reading, what verse she was reading. So yeah, this is something I love about the Quran, that it shares facts, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created us and created the worlds and everything in it. So if people, you know, back then, this was, if they really understood, they would already be believers. Because how can a prophet, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, know these information?
Exactly. That's what really got me. And my Quran teacher, she always says that the Quran has got so many different levels, and it's so true. You have a story, you have it for the Bedouin people in the middle of the desert. Look at the sky, look at the way the sun comes and the moon comes and the cycles of life. Or you have a story of a prophet. Or you have the scientific things in the Quran, or you have the laws in the Quran. You can have a scientist, you can have a lawyer, and you can have a Bedouin that's never been to school, all access in the Quran on different levels.
Because Allah created us, so He knows how we think,
how
different people think, what different evidence people can relate to and understand.
Yeah, and different for me as well. Like these ayah of the scientific points were what started me to and confirmed my belief. But actually in the last year and a half, I think actually I'm looking at it differently. So I'm looking more in like the pondering and the reflecting side of things, because I've changed as a person in 20 years. You mature, you change, and you appreciate things in different ways. So,
and you know that there is tadabbur and tafakkur now. Have you heard of the two? You should know.
I should know these. Yeah. Hala will tell me off. Tadabbur is reflecting.
Yes.
And?
Tafakkur.
I can't remember.
So it's tadabbur. Now you're putting me on the spot. So tadabbur is when you reflect on the ayahs, yeah? Tafakkur is the same, but when you think of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. So when you look at the mountains and you look at this, similar to what you were talking about, the sun, the sky, and that is tafakkur, thinking, mashallah, what God created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these. So yes. It's just a different way of reflecting, but on the ayat al-kawniyah, like the what you can see.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm doing a lot more of that now. Whereas before, I didn't really do that very much.
Because before, what I see is you needed to get the information that you needed at that point of journey in your life. And then as you progressed over the years, it just increases. So now you're digging, like your Quran teacher said, you're just digging deeper because there are layers.
Yeah.
First, you need to learn to read the Quran, yeah, and then understand. And then, subhanAllah, every ayah you read, sometimes... You know, you've read the Quran so many times, but sometimes you just sit down and you read this ayah, it's like it's the first time you're hearing it.
Yes, yeah.
And I feel that is the... Because I love reading and I'm a bookworm. And sometimes just one book, I've read it once, I don't need to read it again.
Mm.
Yeah? And in no way am I comparing. I'm just saying, from a book or a reader's point of view, there's a book you can read one time, and then you can, even if you want to read it again, think, I already know what's coming. But you can't, as a reader, and the Quran does not have that effect on you. It's like you're always reading it for the first time.
Yeah, and the same ayah, like you said, every time you pick it up is different. You take something different. So it doesn't, something's happening in your life. You open the Quran randomly, and then the ayah speaks to you directly. SubhanAllah, it's just... I don't want to say magical, but that's not the right word. It's such a good guide. Miracle. That's the right word. It's such a miracle that actually that one book with the same words that have never been changed can speak to you in different ways at different times in your life, and you take something from it every single time.
You take what you need at that moment in time, whatever you're going through emotionally or challenges or whatever, and you just feel Allah al-Qarib, He's close to you, so you can feel His closeness when you read the Quran. And I'm going to thank Angelique, who was my guest yesterday, because yesterday we talked about gratitude.
Yeah.
And so this is a moment to be grateful, because we have the Quran to go back to. We reach to the Quran. That in itself is a blessing, because so many of us, when we do go through calamities or whatever, we reach to other things, other means of finding comfort. But the fact that we, inshallah, and may we always, Ya Rab, for us in the studio and those who are listening, may we always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Quran, because truly that's the place we find comfort.
Yeah, I mean, inshallah.
And with that, we'll take a short break and we'll be right back. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life. You know the show, you know the voice. We're connecting your heart, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, inshallah, one ayah at a time. I'm talking to my guest in the studio today. Sorry if you hear me tapping. I'm excited. I'm tapping on the table. And Emma's with us in the studio today. We're talking about the Quran being a practical guide for life. And again, just to remind you that this is a live show, you're more than welcome to call us and speak to us if you wish to do so by calling 24602058. So the Quran, a practical guide. You think so?
Yes.
Why?
I think a little bit about what we were just talking about. It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Mm-hmm. You will always get some sort of guidance, and it's practical. Well, I feel like it's practical.
So do I.
So I think most people would, if they take it and they follow what, if we follow what's in the Quran, as humans we'll be happy and we'll have a very balanced life. So I think that's why I feel that it's practical. So one of the ayahs, and again, I'm going to have to find it.
No problem.
But it's about, it says that Allah does not burden anyone soul more, with more than they can
bear.
I think it's Baqarah 2.
You're correct. It's Al-Baqarah 286. لا يكلف أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها.
Yeah.
You want to read the translate? Is that
okay? Yeah. God does not require of any soul more than what it can afford. All good will be for its own benefit, and all evil will be for its own benefit.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Its own loss, sorry. And I think that, for me, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your life. I mean, I'll relate it to my story. So my mum passed away just last year, in February.
Sorry to hear.
So at that point, you're so broken. You don't know how to... how are you going to survive? How are you going to keep going? Like, your whole world's just disappeared. But subhanAllah, I actually, I was amazed that I managed to keep going. Like, I haven't crumbled. I haven't like had a breakdown. I've managed to keep going to work, have a normal life. Like, yes, you have ups and downs and you're upset and things. But at that point, I just felt so grateful and so... this really spoke to me, this ayah of you're never burdened with more than you can bear in such extreme circumstances. That's a huge thing for somebody when they lose their mother.
Mm.
So I think I really reflected on it at that point. And I remember going to one of the tadabburs and I was streaming, crying. I didn't know where it came from. It's because we were talking about the ayahs of the Quran and how are we using them in everyday life, and how Allah will keep you going even in these times when you're having tests, even when it feels like such a heavy burden, you can keep going. And I just felt so grateful that everything I need is written here to keep me going in my daily life. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense, because other people, because they're going through loss and grief, they might go, I'm just thinking, you know, I'm doing a hypothetical story. They might go and look for books on loss, mm-hmm. on grief. Mm-hmm. How can I overcome this? But if you really want to overcome, because the creator of the heart is the only one who can heal you.
And knows what you need.
Yes.
Knows exactly what you need. The other ayah is, with every hardship comes ease. It's 94, Surah 94. I don't know.
With every hardship comes ease.
Verily, with every hardship.
Yeah, I know it, but it's not my fasting brain.
Ashara.
What?
Ashara.
Ashara. I can't say.
Sorry. I need to get better with my Arabic.
Where is it?
See the post-it?
Uh-huh. But it's not written in Arabic. But it's okay. It's an English show. If I find it, I will share it.
It's an uplifting heart anyway. The surah is called in English an uplifting heart. And I think it's really exactly what when you're in hardship. Do you want me to read the ayah?
Yes, please.
Okay. So surely with hardship comes ease. And surely with that hardship comes more ease. And I remember we were talking in one of the reflection lessons about how you go through a trial, you go through something difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And after it, you feel that relief when you start to sort of get back to normal and you've processed what's gone on and you've prayed and you've made dua. But also in the time, you have an ease. So you're not always, in the time that you're also, when you're distraught about something, you have that ease of going to pray.
Mm.
And you have that ease of connecting with the Quran. And for me, that's really practical, because as much as my husband or my sister or a friend can try to comfort you, it's not the same. You don't have that same relief because they can't take it from you.
Yes, subhanAllah. And I found the ayah.
Oh, lovely.
And I know it is in the forefront of my mind, but it's my mind and my whatever not connecting. So, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى.
Yes.
So with every hardship comes ease. But you know what's funny, Emma, is that sometimes we don't realize this part until we're in it and we've overcome it. Yeah. Then we realize that hardship, that is surely, you know, it comes ease. And there's something about this ayah, but I don't know how to say it without making sure I don't say it wrong. So unfortunately, I won't say it. For me, I found this out and the point that you were talking about, that no one really understands what you're going through, what you need, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like my divorce. When I reflect, I understand I had to go through that. So I know who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
And so that's why when sometimes I go through hardships, nobody likes hardships, I'm not saying, but I feel they bring us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, definitely. And then the last year, alhamdulillah, my iman's definitely rose again. Like, I think you go through peaks and troughs in life.
You
over
do.
20 years, you were like very active and very reading a lot and you learn a lot, and then you might dip and life takes you on different journeys. But definitely since going through loss, I think I've reconnected with the Quran in a different level and a deeper level.
But that's the thing I think many people don't understand. They think, first of all, that once you have Islam and you have the Quran, then you're supposed to deal with everything and manage everything. You're not. We're humans.
Yeah.
We will have these ups and downs. But there's one thing that has to be consistent, our relationship with our Creator.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is what's going to pull us through and push us through. And Allah knows that. He created us, so He knows that. But as long as we always, always, no matter what we're going through, we always go to Allah. Not when, you know, we're tired of speaking to everybody and nobody understands. No, you go to Him first and foremost.
Yeah.
That's very important. And of course, go to the Quran. Then you can talk if you want, but you don't want to. I've reached a point I shared recently that I don't need to talk to anybody sometimes. It's just Allah knows He's enough.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a peace when you feel that.
And with that, we shall take a short break and be right back, inshallah. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. This is Maya El Saeed, connecting your heart one eye at a time with my guest Emma. And I believe we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah.
I'm Istabraq
Al-Riyami. Hi, Istabraq. كيف حالك ماما? So nice to hear from you.
How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. تفضلي.
I want to reflect on the ayah that you guys mentioned just before the break.
فإنما العسر يسرى? With the hardship comes ease? Okay, تفضلي.
What I really love about this ayah is that there is reassurance, توكيد. With hardship comes ease, and Allah does not just say it once, He reassures us twice. And I feel like for me in difficult times, yani, that really helps as a reminder that it will get better,
inshallah.
So I just wanted to share this short reflection from my end.
Jazakallah khair, thank you so much. And because you called and you shared that reflection, please stay on the line and give your details to Ahmed, because you've won a copy of Al-Quran Al-Karim.
Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
And I want to say that this show has been the highlight of my drive back from work and during Ramadan.
Ya Allah. Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. Jazakallah khair.
Ya Allah.
Ma'a salama. Thank you so much, Istabraq, for calling. And she's now speaking to Ahmed. Excellent to get her number, her details. And so we were talking about how this beautiful miracle of a book is a guide for us. And you have more to share on that aspect from your point of view.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people now in the last sort of 10 years, we always think about well-being, mental health, being grateful, gratitude. We're always doing like random acts of kindness and things. And people are searching for that. But we have it in the Quran. Mm. So again, it's just something else that I was thinking about, that actually one of the ayahs says, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you in favor.
Yeah, we mentioned this one yesterday.
Ah, really? Mm. I didn't hear yesterday.
No
sorry.
Problem.
And it's such a practical thing that people who maybe haven't found Islam or haven't got religion, they haven't got that in their life, so they're searching for that. Mm. And for us, we have that. We're grateful for the small things. We're grateful for, we're told, look at your food, ponder on your food before you eat it. Where did it come from? How's it got here? Look at the rain, look at the mountains,
Look at what we have created for you.
Yes, all of this, and we have it there in front of us, and we're told to do that as part of our guide for life. Mm. And I feel if a lot of people that are searching for these gaps in what they're doing, this is a very clear guide for them to be able to support their life and being grateful and having that positivity in your life. A little bit like how we pray. A lot of people, maybe they try Pilates, then they try yoga, then they try meditation, or they try the singing bowls. There's nothing wrong with any of them, but people often move between them. But we have that in praying, and we're told in our Quran, pray at these times, and we have that relief that people are looking for. So that's why I feel like it's really practical, because if I pray 5 times a day and I'm doing it properly, I have that relief. Mm. I have that, the meditation as part of it. I have the exercise part of it because I'm moving my body. It's really practical to, you're putting your head on the floor and you're releasing the stress. And that's one of the scientific miracles as well, is that the front of your head is the different temporal lobes are part of your head, and you're putting that on the floor. It's a release for your stress again. Something else that's really practical for us to take away into our lives and hopefully help us navigate life by following what we're told to do.
SubhanAllah. One of the things that I feel why maybe we don't see it or we don't understand, I don't know how to word this, but I feel we are living in a time where we want everything is like fast. You know, we order food at the touch of a button. We don't have to even go into the kitchen.
Yeah.
We get information through our devices. We really don't have to pick a book, you know. And I feel Islam and reading the Quran and all these acts of praying, you need to take your time.
Yeah.
We can't be praying, you know, like in 2 minutes, or reading the Quran and just whizzing through it. You have to slow down. And I feel now with the technology and everything that's going on, we don't know how to slow down.
Yeah.
We don't know how to be mindful, because you gave the example of look at your food. It's essential for us to do it, because we realize that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah,
but we don't sit and reflect, not only on the ayahs, on our life.
And it has practical sides of that as well. So if you slow down, it supports your digestion. So not only are you realizing and looking at the creation from Allah, but you're also having the practical. You've slowly sat down and taken your time to eat your food. That's going to aid your digestion. So you've got the reflection of the miracle of life from God, and then we've also got like how it affects our bodies. And I think the Quran is like both sides. You've got the spiritual side and you've got the practicalities within the same thing. Reflect on your food, and that's going to impact on how you're,
I feel, you know, not only in food, in all aspects of life.
Yeah.
I know we've taken food as an example, but we don't only mean food. And I'm sorry if we're torturing you. I know it's Ramadan and we're talking about food, but it was just what came to our minds. You're more than welcome to join our conversations and or reflections or anything you'd like to add to the show by calling 246-02-058. And I'm just going to say this because we're talking about slowing down, and I don't remember if I mentioned this already on the show at some point, but the speed of how we pray, because you did talk about prayer.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk to each other, when we're having conversation with whoever we're having it, we always speak at a moderate speed, and we make sure the person who I'm speaking to understands the message, the conversation, the points, whatever. But when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our prayer mat and pray, it's not the case.
Yeah.
Many people just go, I'm just
Yeah, they're not taking the time to think about
We're laughing about it, but you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I've been guilty of that. I'm at work and I've got a meeting and I want to pray quickly. I've done that. But you don't get what you need from that prayer. And you don't have that connection with Allah to then give you the next power till the next prayer. You rush it, you don't feel it, and it doesn't do the job, which is why we're supposed to take our time. We're supposed to slowly read and recite. We're supposed to sit and reflect afterwards. Even if it's a couple of minutes out of your day, it really slows you down. And I've done it where Adan's gone, I thought, I'll just quickly finish this email. And I'll finish it, and then the next one comes in, and you get carried away. But you need to, if you stop and you go away and you take your time, and whether that's 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and it's your break time, slow down and stop. When you come back, you can actually focus way more because you've had that connection and that grounding in your day, and then you can carry on your day. And I actually am more productive when I've stopped and prayed on time and taken the time to go and do what I need to do.
I love when you said that, I'm going to pray, you know, the prayer gives you the power to the next prayer. Like, I'm going to pray Asr, and then I'm going to have the boost that I need to make it to Maghrib.
Yeah.
Pray Maghrib. I've never looked at it that way, but I love that analogy. Or, you know, it's just like power, faith, power until the next prayer, or whatever you need, because so many things can happen between two prayers.
Yeah. And I'm a teacher, so I'm with young children. It's full on. They need your attention the whole time. So actually you need that time to just stop and have 15 minutes of actually I'm going to go and pray and take my time to like re-energize to be able to keep teaching in the afternoon or whenever it might be. So it re-energizes me when I pray.
And also when you were talking, I was reflecting on, we don't prioritize prayer. So we have the time we go to work, and after work, I'm going to go to the gym, and then I'm going to meet up with my friends, blah, blah, blah. Already blocks of time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a practical way should be, let's block our salah. Yeah?
Yes.
Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. And then block everything. Okay, work, I understand it's fixed from that time to that time. But block, okay, from 12:30 to 1, that's my salah.
Yeah.
Okay, then from if I have time, then I'll have lunch. So the other things, if I have time. Yeah. But the way we do, it's like everything, I mean, everything else has time, but salah when I have time.
Yeah. And reading Quran.
Yes.
I just came, I was really lucky, alhamdulillah, I went to Umrah just in Mashallah, February, Umrah, my Mabula. First time. And that is exactly what I missed. When I came back, I really missed that everything there is around your prayer. And then if you have time to go and eat or whatever, you sleep, whatever you need to do in the gaps that you've got, I really missed that. Because the first day I came back, I remember I was putting the washing out and the adhan went off. And I finished putting my washing out and then I went to pray. And I thought, what are you doing? You're crazy. Like, you've just experienced what it's like. You need to stop and then come back to it. Yeah. And I think I had that awakening from being in Umrah, and everybody stops. And I love that. Like, it's crazy and it's packed and it's busy and chaotic and people are all over the place. And then the adhan goes and everybody stops and prays. And you could hear a pin drop.
Yes, you can.
And the birds flying around. But yeah, subhanAllah, that's what I think I reflected on more and more recently. Before, I have always prayed, alhamdulillah. But I think more recently, in the last year or so, I've really, really slowed down again to take the time to pray, to read Quran a little bit more and slow down, not trying to get everything done, and try and prioritize my prayer. Like, if I'm meeting somebody, I'll try and meet them after a prayer. Like, so if I know Asr's at 4, for example, then I'll meet them at 4:30 or something. Trying my best to do that. I'm not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but just trying, like, exactly what you said. And it makes a difference in life. It makes you have this, like,
You can't see what she's doing, but literally she's saying, it's like, you know, like, it's done, alhamdulillah, so now I can go about life. There's one thing I want to share, or I want to say. When I give examples of, you know, other people, and sometimes it could be something that I'm going through. I'm by no means myself or any of my guests. We're not perfect. We're all humans. We all have challenges. Yeah, but this is why this show is here, to make you feel that even though you have challenges, that by no means you should stop praying or reading Quran. Always try and become a better version of yourself when it comes to your spirituality, your relationship with Allah. So even if you happen to be one of those, it doesn't mean, you know, that you're bad or anything. I don't want anyone listening thinking, oh, this is me, then I shouldn't be doing that. Yes, you shouldn't be doing that, but you can change.
I remember I used to go to a hairdresser in London, and she was a reeva, and she was probably in her 50s then. So she had life experience, she had a family and everything. And I remember her saying, even on the days, and I'd just be newly reverted this time, she said, even on the days if you're exhausted and you really feel like you can't stand up and pray, sit and pray, if you can't pray all the extra prayers or you can't read the Quran after, do your prayers, don't leave your prayers, because you've tried your best then, and then everything else will come. But if you always just try and prioritize the best you can, she said, even if you do 2 rak'ah rather than 4, you've done what you can do, and Allah knows best your intentions and will draw you closer. Because isn't there an ayah that says, if you, I'm not going to mess the word,
you can
up,
say it in English,
yeah, something like, if you take steps towards me, then I will run to you. I don't know the wording exactly.
I know which one.
This is an ayah. So it shows that if we do the best we can, even if it's 1 prayer a day that you start with, or you haven't prayed for 20 years and you start with just 2 rakas or a small dua, that step towards Allah, he will bring you closer, and you'll feel that release and that peace, and then you probably build up quite quickly before you even know it.
Yes, in Arabic there's, I think it's a saying, قَلِيلٌ دَائِمْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ كَثِيرٍ مُنْقَطَعٍ. So a little bit that is constant is better than doing a lot of things, but then you know, there's a lot of space between the two. So it can apply to religion when, or your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you decide, I'll read only one, let's take it to the really minimum, only 1 verse a day, but you read it every single day, and you're constant with that, with time, first of all, Allah prefers that because you're connecting with Him, you're remembering Him every day instead of reading, like, say, the Quran in one day, the full, and then you stop for 1 year.
Yeah.
You know? So, subhanAllah. Let us know what you think by joining the show. You can do so by calling 246-0258. By the way, the conversations that I have, and sometimes we struggle finding the ayahs, is because none of the conversation is prepared. As I've said before, I discover and I get to know my guests on air with you listening. So just forgive us if we have these kind of delays when we look for ayahs, because that's what comes up in conversation. We were talking about change. There's a verse in Surah Ar-Ra'd, verse 11. Let me find again the English translation. And there's in the middle of the verse, it says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, you want to change, you don't have to go extreme change, that little change, but you have to change it within you, make that intention. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you and send people or something to help you with that change. But change is definitely possible, especially if you feel that you could be doing more. Yes, you can. You just have to make the change.
Yeah, I think we always feel like we could be doing more.
Yes.
So now I want to do more. I'm reading more of the Quran and learning to read in Arabic. I want to do more. I want to be able to understand the Arabic words, like, you start with one thing and then before you know it, you've actually achieved that and you've been blessed with that, whatever it might be. And then you always want more. As humans, that's what we want. So exactly what you're saying is, like, the change will happen and start with small and consistent.
If we can talk about, you did mention how the Quran has, your understanding has evolved.
Yes.
Evolved along the years. What I want to say? Is there an ayah? And I know I said I wouldn't say this, but I'm always, there's an ayah that I heard yesterday that really hit me. And I'm wondering, is there an ayah recently that you've heard or you've reflected on that kind of shook you?
Yes. the one that stands out is, it was actually in Taraweeh. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand everything that's said in Taraweeh. I can pick out words and I get, like, the gist of what's being recited, but actually, you know, I don't understand everything. So actually the piece comes from the recitation in the from the imam.
Yes.
But for this one, I understood it. And it was actually not this Ramadan, the Ramadan before. And my mum had recently passed away. And the ayah that he was reading was, don't even say uff to your parents. Yeah. And that, I'd read it 100 times. And I know that you need to have respect to with your parents and be grateful for everything that they've given you. And you know, I always tried to be good with my parents. But that really stood out because I think it has a different meaning when you you can reflect on, like, oh my goodness, they're not there. Or I have my dad and I want to really be good to him. Like, it really stood out as a practical thing. Again, like, it's teaching us how to be with our parents, how to have good relationships. And even oof.
And that's such a really small thing. Yeah.
But that,
it's not even a word.
Yeah, it's not even a word.
It's something you do with your lips and it's like, oof.
Yeah.
Subhanallah.
And that really, that was one that really, really stood out to me. I think the most, like, and it stuck with me as well because then I was gone. I was emotional and yes, I'm practical, but that really got me and I was very, very
You
emotional.
Can be practical and emotional. You're allowed to do that.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I guess.
So for me, it's an ayah that I've always had at the back of my mind, but yesterday Hala shared it in the in the group, and it is, subhanallah, and whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life, and we will gather him on the day of resurrection blind. And he will say, like, he will say, "My Lord, why have you raised me blind while I was once seeing," referring to dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "Thus did our signs come to you and you forgot them. Thus you will this day be forgotten." This ayah shakes me to the core.
Yeah.
Because Allah is telling us now in dunya, He's showing us signs everywhere. The fact that we are alive, the fact that we can see, the fact that we are living, these are signs. We have a book, the Quran. There are signs everywhere. And some people, even maybe myself long time ago, I was blind. I couldn't see. Yeah. Yes, I could see, but I couldn't see.
Yeah, definitely.
And then on the day of Qiyamah, for example, some people will not be able to see. I said, "But we used to see, we can't see." I said, "Well, I showed you signs. You didn't see me then, so today you don't see."
Yeah.
Ya Allah. Inshallah, Allah ja'alna min as-salihin bi-idhnillah, and we will be those who Allah will bless us with sight and everything. Inshallah, may He be pleased with us when He takes us bi-idhnillah.
Inshallah.
So we have just a couple of minutes left on the show. If you still want to call, you still can. Even though I know the chance to win a Quran is gone, but you can still reflect with us. Maybe share an ayah that you recently as well has shook you, just as this one shook me. And you can do so by calling 24602058. Would you like to share anything before?
I have so many different things, but I guess...
Okay, go ahead.
If you were talking about ayahs that really like affect you and have hit you, I think the other ayah that... I was thinking about which ayahs would I even talk about. There's so many.
There's so many.
I'm like, where do you start? But another ayah that came to me is perhaps you love a thing that's bad for you,
and
perhaps you hate a thing that is good for you.
Yes.
And I think that, again, for me, practically, I don't know, you go for a job interview and you don't get it, or a job promotion and you don't get it. Afterwards, and now in my 30s, I feel this a lot. There's always a reason behind it.
Always.
Something is different coming that's better for you than you don't know. Allah always knows better what's
we don't
for
know.
You.
We
do not know.
We think we know. Yeah. That's our problem. We have this, I know it all. No, you don't.
Yeah. We don't know what's coming and why we didn't go down that pathway. Even if you want it so much, you've prayed for it and you think it's good for you. But actually, there's always another pathway that Allah has planned out for us. And I think, yeah, definitely in my 30s, that is something that stands out for me. And I live by that. I try to live by that as well, because I think it's so practical and it really is like, it teaches you to be patient. It teaches you to reflect and trust in God's plan. And we're only here really temporarily. We forget that in our daily lives. We forget this is temporary, or we're rushing for this job or this house or this car or whatever it might be. We forget, actually, this is going to be like a blink of an eye for us.
True.
And it's not what's important.
The verse you just reflected on was in Surah Al-Baqarah, for those listening, verse 216. Okay, so in case you wanted to read that ayah. As you were talking, I don't know, I wanted to say something and I forgot. So what other ayahs did you have that you wanted to... Practical ayahs, because it's all about practicality today with them.
Yeah, it is.
But I love that. I think it's a different aspect. And how you use the Quran, you know. You use it, of course, we all use it for different things. But this is one way, maybe... People didn't think of using the Quran this way or see it in this manner.
Yeah. Another one that I, when I was reading, I was reading like different posts yesterday. Another one that came to mind was, and I don't know if I'm interpreting it in a different way or not, but it's every soul shall taste death, and to us you will be returned.
So, I think.
Yeah.
I like you say yeah.
Yeah. I'm not agreeing with you because I'm sure that you know better than I do. So no, 29. I don't know the number because it's in Arabic.
The الموت, I think. Al-Anbiya?
Yes.
Verse
35. Oh, no, sorry.
No?
Let me see. Ankabut.
Okay, so. كُلُّ نَفْسِ ذَائِقَةٌ ثُمَّ إِلَيْنَا yes. It starts the same. There's a similar verse, but with a different ending. So this was Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 57. Correct? You said it doesn't show. It
is
no problem. Verse 57.
That's one on my list to learn. But I think this is really important for us because we might be sick and then we recover, or somebody that we love passes away. And yeah, so I think it's a really good reminder for me as well. I think it's something else that so many that stick with you at different times, like we said, but this one, because of we all taste death at some point and we will die at some point. And it's like the cohesive thing with all humans. So again, it's just something really practical for us in our lives to give us that remembrance that this is short and
that's where we're heading.
This is where we're going. We're all going to taste this at some point.
I love, mashallah, every episode, yani, by the will of Allah, it comes full circle. So we are talking about the practicality of life. And Emma started with the verse about the creation of man. And as we end the show, you remind us that death is the end of it. And then we are being judged for our actions.
Subhanallah. And we didn't plan it.
No, we didn't plan it. Allah planned it. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Emma. Jazakallah khair. May Allah continue to light your life with the nur, with the knowledge of the verses, and may you become closer to Him, inshallah. Bidnillahi ta'ala. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in. I shall, inshallah, be here on Sunday. Bidnillah. Same time, 2:30 on Oman FM. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.